Justin McIsaac, Flaming Homo. Sports are for little queers.
This sports debacle is a frank and open discussion between adults about sports and other pop culture subjects. Discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Sports Debacle with your host, a man who once lost $20 betting on a youth indoor soccer game, Justin McIsaac.
All right. Welcome to the debacle. I'm your devastatingly handsome host, Justin McIsaac. I am joined by no one right now. You would think that the most popular podcast in the history of the internet would be able to land a guest, but no, I was 0 for 3. Zach Foote, he was the first guy to text. He's like, I can come in Tuesday. The first podcast went up last Sunday night, so that was no dice. Then I talked to my friend Prieto all week. He was kind of like, yeah, let me see, blah, blah, blah. And then I called him today and nothing. He was unavailable, I guess. He was probably busy drinking beers without me. Bastard. And then I called Dan, and Dan was all fired up to do it, but I guess he's got a kid. Like, I have two kids. He has one kid, so he ran into some difficulty, and it was unspecified, but he couldn't come in. He just, and I'm looking for my sound effect to make fun of Dan, and I can't find it. Things are not going well for me right now. But you know, this is the most important sports cast in the history of the internet. We are going to talk to my wife, Renee McIsaac, coming up in a little bit. We're going to discuss some fantasy baseball. So Renee has this weird thing now. First of all, fantasy baseball, it's pretty dumb. But it gives you a reason to watch all the games you wouldn't normally watch. I mean, I'm a retard for baseball, so I'll watch any game. I'll watch Pittsburgh battling it out with the Florida Marlins for fifth place in the National League East. But that's just me. I know I say retarded a lot. We'll get into that a little bit. But if you're offended by the word retard, you probably shouldn't take the 15 steps it takes to download this podcast. It's not worth your heartache. Trust me. So we're going to talk to Mrs. McIsaac coming up in a little bit. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk a little bit about, speaking of me saying the word retard and offending people, our president, Barack Obama, and I'm only talking about this because it very loosely relates to sports. Barack Obama on Jay Leno this week talked about how his bowling skills were terrible. And I think the direct quote was I don't have the direct quote, but he said he bowled like a Special Olympian, which, first of all, that's the edgiest thing that's been on Jay Leno's show in the past 10 years, probably. Second of all, there was a big uproar about it. Now, I guess if you're the president, you really have to watch what you say. But I didn't think that this went out of bounds. Like, is it not assumed when you talk about the Special Olympics that the caliber of athleticism is maybe slightly below what you would find at the regular Olympics? I'm assuming everybody agrees upon this. Now, maybe I'm going out on a limb. Most people are dumb, which is why you get things like American Idol and, I don't know, other dumb stuff. But when we're talking about the Special Olympics, I don't think I don't think that's a foul to say, I bowled really bad, I should be in the Special Olympics. He didn't say, I bowled like a f***ing retard, and I should have been, you know, I should have had a drool cup on me. That would have been over the line, I think. But I think saying Special Olympics, that's okay with me. Of course, I'm a Barack Obama ball washer. I like anything he does, especially his wife. God, Michelle Obama's hot. But we're kind of getting off on a tangent. So we're going to talk some fantasy sports, fantasy baseball with my wife, Renee McIsaac. Now, Renee's thing with fantasy baseball, she kind of does it wrong. Renee, the purpose of fantasy baseball is you pick a bunch of guys, and it's purely stat-driven. If you're listening to a sports podcast on the internet, you already know this. I don't know why I'm bothering to explain it, but in case somebody I know, like, okay, my boss Jeff will listen to this, and he probably is like, fantasy baseball? What the hell? Who has a fantasy that involves baseball? What the hell's going on there? So fantasy baseball, you draft a bunch of players. You have a draft. Sometimes you do it live. Sometimes you do it on the internets. You pick a bunch of players. Based upon their stats, you get points, blah, blah, blah. The person with the most points wins. There you go. So you're looking to get guys that have good stats. Renee does it wrong. Renee picks people that she would want to have on her, like, company softball team. Like, she picks people that, based on watching all the games, she's like, oh, he seems really nice. I'd like to have him on my team, and her teams always suck. She takes guys like Pokey Reese, and I don't know. We're gonna talk to her on the telephone, and if anybody has a company that's in desperate need of finding listenership below 50 people and wants to sponsor the hotline, I will gladly accept sponsorship. So we'll talk to Renee. We're gonna talk about a few things podcast wise because we had more downloads than I thought. I thought maybe we'd have 10 downloads last week, and I figured 5 of them would be Dan and I just listening to it over and over again. We actually checking the stats on Podomatic, which is the site that hosts this this year podcast. We actually had 35 people download the podcast. Now I'm gonna assume two each for me and Dan because we downloaded it and Dan's girlfriend and my wife did. So that leaves about 30 people, which is more than I thought. So if you're listening and you like it or you think it doesn't suck, try and spread the word because I'd like to try and break 50 this week. It's baby steps. One note of clarification, because I tend to be offensive sometimes. I said the French-Canadian people are a dirty, dirty people last week. I stand by this. I do want to clarify that what I meant when I said French-Canadian was actual French-Canadians living in Canada. If your heritage is French-Canadian and, say, you're living in Somersworth or Texas, you might be a dirty, dirty person. I don't know. But I was specifically speaking about the French-Canadians in Montreal. Those people are rude, and they all smoke, and they're dirty, and I have no qualms saying offensive things about them. So, Les Habitals, you are ugly, dirty, smelly people. There you go. Okay, we're going to try and get Renee on the phone now. This is from the home offices in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where the broadcast, the podcast emanates from. And I'm not too handy with the technology yet. So we're going to give this a shot and bear with me if it doesn't work.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Joining me now on the as-of-yet-unnamed hotline is my life partner and spouse, Renee McIsaac. Renee, thanks for joining us on the Sports Debacle today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I was explaining to our 30 listeners that that when you play fantasy baseball, you tend to do it all wrong, in my opinion.
Well, I don't know that I can agree with that statement fully.
How is it wrong, though? Is the goal not to win?
That is the stated goal. However, I have found over the course of the last couple of years that doesn't apply to me. I play because I like baseball.
Okay.
Like fantasy sports, and I enjoy competition. However, I have found that I tend to like guys that maybe are not at the top tier, maybe not necessarily the best players or the money makers.
I
can't have them.
Okay, that's fine. I understand not wanting to take guys because they're douchebags, but you won't take a guy unless... Okay, here's a good example. When Gary Sheffield played for the Yankees, I wouldn't take Gary Sheffield because, A, I don't want to root for a Yankee, and
right.
B, Gary Sheffield is an ass bag. But when Gary Sheffield went to the Tigers, I had less of an issue having Gary Sheffield on my fantasy team because he's hitting 30 home runs a year, or he was, and you know he's not on the Yankees anymore, so I don't have to worry about rooting for a Yankee.
Right.
But you...
Well, okay, so no, wait. But that actually brings up two separate points.
Okay.
Okay. One, I think that Gary Sheffield has an anger management problem, and
okay.
I don't like his character so much. So regardless of the team that he plays for, I would not want him on my team.
This is the crux of the whole argument. That's fine if we're discussing who's going to watch the children so that we can go to the movies. I agree... Uh-huh. Gary Sheffield has an anger management problem, but guess what? He doesn't get suspended from my team for an anger management problem. It's only the only thing that matters is he's going to hit, you know, 110 RBI.
But see, I don't want to root for him. I don't want to flip on the game and go, come on, Gary, I really need this home run because I don't like the guy. I don't want him to do well.
Okay, but does it have to be one or the other? Do you have to root for him or not root for him? Can't you just be kind of neutral about it? Look at the stats the next day and be like, oh, okay.
Oh, see, no,
Sheffield hit two home runs. You can't?
Well, maybe if you're not an emotional fan, but see, I enjoy the game, and I have guys that I want to root for, and I have a hard time sort of standing back and saying, okay, well, this guy is going to get me ahead in my fantasy points, so I don't care that I don't like him. You see, I just don't like that approach. And the second, actually going back to the second point I was going to make, was that there are some guys that play for teams mm-hmm. that I don't necessarily like that I would consider having on my roster.
Such as? Can you name some of these players?
I can, but I don't know if this would lead to a divorce.
Why is this going to lead to a divorce?
Okay. Well, see, for example, one Yankee I would consider having on my team would be Derek Jeter.
Oh, God! Derek Jeter? Now, honey, yes. I have a Ryan Russman aggressive DWI attorney online, too. He's going to act as my divorce counsel. No. That would be okay. Like Dan and I were discussing, I don't know if this was on the podcast or just when we were BSing watching the World Baseball Classic. Jeter's one of the Yankees we actually don't hate. Uh-huh. But he's fantasy-wise, he's not all that good. So still...
Well, you know what? It depends on where you are in the draft.
You're still reverting to your form of guys that I like, but aren't any friggin' good. Okay, I have last year's team for you on my computer screen. Here's some of the people you had on your team that I don't think were very good. Let's see. Raul Labanez, he was okay. You had Xavier Nady as a Yankee. I'm just going to run through your whole team.
Hey, Nady, he was good for me.
Last year he finished with 25 ding-dongs, 97 RBI. Okay, you have a case there. Here's who you had on your team. And we'll see if I have a case.
Oh, last year I was so bad.
This is just who you had at the end of the year. I can't. Going to try and. You know what? Let's see who you drafted because that's a better indication.
Oh, but is it for this year?
No, last year.
Okay.
I can look and see who you drafted. Where are you? You were Sweet Caroline last year.
Yes.
Okay, you took Vlad Guerrero in the first round. That's fine.
Yep.
The first like five rounds you did five. Vlad Guerrero, Soriano, Halladay. Yep, mm-hmm. Halladay, J.J. Putz, Roy Oswalt, K-Rod, Verna Wells.
Heavy pitching department, yes.
Yes, that's fine. But then we start to get into issues. Placido Polanco is not an eighth-round player. He's good if you have a real team, and if you need a guy to like make everybody get along and go to the movies after and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not somebody you want on as your eighth-round pick. And then you had a bizarre Indians fascination, too, because you went with...
I think I still do, actually.
Because you had Fausto Carmona.
You got to love Fausto.
Do you?
Last year wasn't great for him, but...
Okay, you know what? I can defend that pick, because going into last year, Fausto was a good pick.
Yeah.
But, okay, Ted Lilly. Ted Lilly is universally mediocre. He's just okay every year, and there were lots of better people available in the 14th round than Ted Lilly. How do you defend taking Ted Lilly in a fantasy draft? Go.
I on some level, I do like Lilly, and I think at times I had wished the Red Sox signed him. Admittedly, he is not going to be, you know, your first and third guy in the rotation, but I thought that he was a guy that I could include on my roster.
Okay. I don't know, sweetie. I'm having a hard time defending you on this one.
Again, see, I want guys on my team that I can support, and I understand that the likelihood of me winning is probably not very good at this point.
Okay, you also took Asdrubal Cabrera last year in the 21st round.
Yes.
Would you like to tell people?
Okay, and also, and something that does factor in for me is this a team, the player, are they on a team that I will want to watch? Because I like to keep in touch and see how my guys are doing, and am I going to watch a Cleveland Indians game? Yes. I am. I'm going to watch a Cleveland Indians game. Am I going to watch a Cardinals game? No. Am I going to watch a Texas Rangers game? Probably not.
Okay, but here's the thing. You are admittedly hyper-competitive, yes?
Yes.
You cheated Scrabble, yes?
I do.
Answer the question, Mrs. McIsaac.
That is an erroneous statement, as I...
You flip tiles over. You flip S's over to make blank letters. It's true.
I do not.
We all know
it. Perhaps you do, but I would not stoop to that level.
However, how can you be hyper-competitive and play with this philosophy that I'm only going to take guys I like, even though they may hurt my team, statistically speaking, which is the only manner that matters when it comes to fantasy baseball?
Oh.
How do you reconcile those two positions?
Baseball affects me so. I love the game, and I don't want to root for guys that I don't enjoy watching.
Okay, so you would say you're less of a Moneyball type person when it comes to baseball, and more of a baseball romanticist.
I guess so.
I don't even know if romanticist is an actual word. I'm going to have to look that up. Judges? No, I guess it's not an actual word. Could you hear the sound effect? Could you hear the sound effect when I played it?
Yes, I could.
Okay, good. That's terrific. That's one more win for me. So I want you to I know the children are about ready to explode probably because they've been quiet for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I want you to explain to the listeners your philosophy this year on picking guys. And our draft is Thursday. As we record this, it's Sunday night, and you kind of explained your draft philosophy for this year to me. I'd like you to share that with the listeners.
Okay. Well, I haven't fully decided if this is going to be my strategy.
Sounded pretty gung-ho about it the other night.
Okay. So I started making a list of guys that I felt were good draft picks, and I put them into different categories. You know, is it a starting pitcher? Is it a relief pitcher? Is it a first baseman?
Okay.
And so I have, you know, each of those categories, and I'm looking to see which position is most competitive and where there are the fewest guys will make a difference, and that will likely be where I go first for my draft pick.
I have no idea what you just said.
So, for example,
okay.
I was looking, and there are only a couple of good closers, guys that are
right.
Going to give you some saves, and that list is only like maybe like 4 or 5 guys long.
Uh-huh.
So I think that drafting a good closer early on is going to be key because...
Why is that going to be key? Then I'll tell you why you're completely wrong. Go ahead.
Because if you don't get those first 4 or 5 guys, then forget it.
Okay.
That category is lost to you.
So you're arguing that if you don't get one of the top 5 closers in the league, you're not going to win any of those. You're not going to win the save category or any other any of the important relief pitcher categories. Is that what you're arguing?
Yes.
Okay.
But the thing is, I also feel is one of my previous years, I had fairly decent. Offense, and I was definitely lacking in pitching, and I felt like I could never move ahead in the league because I didn't have a good reliever. I didn't have, you know, pitchers in there that were going to get me through on those categories.
Okay, here's where I look smart and look like the guy who's the host of the podcast. Who was the leader in the American League? We're doing an AL-only league for the listeners. Who would you if I told you who the leader in saves last year was in the American League, you would have a bowel movement in your pants spontaneously. Who do you think it was? And please don't have a bowel movement. I don't want to smell that when I come home.
Joaquin Soria?
You're looking at the computer. You are cheating.
I started.
You are cheating.
I have my rankings.
There's
my,
no way you knew Joaquin Soria led the American League in saves last year.
Because when I was doing my research for the upcoming draft, I was surprised that a guy from Kansas City had so many saves.
I can still save myself looking smart. Now, at the beginning of the draft last year, if you had, let's say Papelbon, Jonathan Rivera, all the good guys go, you're like, crap, I can't get a closer that's going to get me 40 saves. And then somehow you wind up with Joaquin Soria in the 22nd round. You would have led the league in saves, even though you didn't take your guy until your 22nd pick. My point is, guys end up as closers that you have no idea are going to be closers at the beginning of the year. So if you take
there are always wild cards. I know that.
Right. If you take a closer with the first five picks, you are tanking. And it's not like we give you draft picks next year. I mean, we just start the league over again. So I should be less upset than I am because this is one of the few things I can beat you at other than a physical fist fight. So if you do poorly, I can walk around and gloat. But I don't know. I don't know why that bugs me so much.
Just be thankful I'm playing. I don't know.
I don't know. I just like to get upset and yell. That's all.
Okay.
Was there anything else we had planned on talking about tonight? Because we've actually been on the phone for 15 minutes. And I rattled on about Barack Obama saying retard for a good 6 minutes beforehand.
Oh.
But he didn't actually say retard.
But, right. No, he didn't. Actually, I was not offended by what he said.
Thank you.
For the record. I understand. And I think that everybody probably needs to calm down.
Okay. Now, I said that he was talking about the Special Olympics, and people got offended when he said he bowled like he was in the Special Olympics. Now, would you assume the athleticism of the Special Olympics is going to be somewhat less than maybe the real Olympics?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you got to settle down. I'm giving America a settle down right now, even though only 35 people listened to the podcast last week.
Okay. Well, you know what? You are doing your part.
Thank you, Renee. All right. I'm going to let you get back to the kids because I know they're ready to go.
Okay.
But thank you for joining us on the second ever Sports Debacle podcast, honey.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Bye. Okay, that's my wife, Renee McIsaac. I don't think she plays fantasy baseball the right way, but she's hot and she does play fantasy baseball, and I think, in my opinion, that makes me the winner. Judges? Well, you can't argue with the judges. They only know how to speak in buzzers and dings. So, there you go. I think that's just going to about wrap it up for this week's truncated edition of the Sports Debacle, because you can hear my closing music is playing. Don't ask me how that happens. Actually, you can go ahead and ask me. You can do that. We call that a segue. By emailing sportsdebacle@yahoo.com. And in just a second, I'm going to let somebody else with a much better voice tell you that exact same thing. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you later this week. It's the Sports Debacle.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Debacle with Justin McIsaac. You are one of two listeners. Please, for the love of God, contact him, placate his ego by emailing him at sportsdebacle@yahoo.com.